my hope is built on nothing less, and we're talking about hope today. Seems like there's always something going on to concern people. And probably because of that, we need hope more than any other time in the world. Hope is such an important thing, and we're going to talk today about hope in Christ. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of hope. A sports team may hope they win the championship in a particular year. Somebody may hope to get a raise or to get a promotion at work. Somebody may hope their marriage works out, or they may hope their child is born healthy. You know, there are all sorts of things that we hope. But one of the things that we have to realize is when we're talking about our hope in Christ, we're talking about a spiritual hope. This is not just your run-of-the-mill, everyday hope. And it's also not what people often mean when they say hope. Many times hope, people say, well, I hope my team wins. Well, I hope it rains this week. Or in the case of today, I hope it quits raining this week. So people, they throw hope around like, I wish this would happen. That's not the biblical hope that we're talking about. It's okay to hope your team wins, or to hope that it quits raining or starts raining or whatever. It's okay to hope for those things, but that's not the hope in Christ that we're talking about this morning. That's not our spiritual hope. Hope is defined several different ways, but the one that's closest to the biblical definition is this. First of all, it can be a noun that means the feeling that what is wanted can be had. You know, sometimes there are things we wish would happen. Now, I wish somebody would leave me $1 million, but I don't really have any real expectation. I don't have any real hope that that's going to happen. That's just a pipe dream, as they say. But there are some things that we can really not only want, but believe that we can have them as well. Now, sometimes hope is the thing that is hoped for. So it can be both the feeling that we have as well as the thing that we're hoping for. And then I just used it in another word, as a verb. It's something we can do. We can hope. We're hoping that these things will occur. Now, hope is also this verb that means to look forward to something with desire. Not like we don't ever say, I hope to get a root canal. You know, it's something we're looking forward to it, but not in a good way. You know, so we don't ever say, I hope that'll happen. No, hope is something that we're looking forward to with desire. It's something we want. And reasonable confidence. Now, we mentioned sports teams earlier. There are some teams that start the year with a reasonable confidence when they say, I hope my team wins the championship. There are other teams where somebody says, I hope my team wins. They don't have any reasonable expectation that their team has a chance. It's just not going to happen. Their team's just not that good. Not even close. And so, when we talk about hope from a spiritual standpoint, it is not just wishing. It is not just, well, I know it could never happen, but boy, I sure hope I get to heaven. When we say that we hope to get to heaven, if we're using it in the biblical sense, it means we have a reasonable expectation that we're going to make it there. It's not just a wish that, boy, wouldn't it be nice if everybody could, you know, if this all just happened just right and everything played. No, it's an expectation that I can know if I'm faithful to Him, I'll make it. And because of that, I can have hope. Because of Jesus Christ, I can have hope. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Without him, it would be hopeless. None of us could ever hope to get to heaven without Christ. Well, there are people out there that don't realize that. There are a lot of people who hope or think, or even if you ask them, they say, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. But they don't have Christ. And they're really hopeless. They just don't realize it yet. Without Christ, getting to heaven is a hopeless endeavor. You can't do it without Him. He is our hope. Let's look at real hope in Christ. Again, this is not just the wish. This is not just the dream. This is the reasonable expectation that this is going to occur. Real hope in Christ, first of all, abides. It remains. It doesn't give up. It doesn't quit. It doesn't die. It doesn't go away. Now, I know all of us are going to have hard times. We're going to have bad times. It's going to be rough. We're going to even be depressed from time to time, sad, discouraged. But even during those times, and maybe especially during those times, we have to have hope that abides. A fellow by the name of Pliny the Elder, or Pliny the Elder, depending on who you listen to on how to pronounce his name, said, "Hope is the pillar that holds up the world." It is. Another said that everything that has been done in this world has been done by hope. Without hope, people just don't do anything. If you didn't hope to get paid, how long would you keep working your job? You hope to get paid at the end of the week or end of the month or whatever, and so you keep working the job. If all hope of getting paid was lost, you'd quit that job. What would be the point? Go to work there with no hope of getting paid. Everything, and so everything that people do in the hope that something will result from it. People in their relationships, they work at their relationship in the hope that it will build the relationship, that it'll make it better, that it'll make it work out. That's why people do things, because of hope. Everything. But hope abides. It has to remain. 1 Corinthians 13:13. I don't know, I suppose it's possible that there are some other things that abide, but Paul mentions here in 1 Corinthians 13 three things. And he says, these three things abide. Now abides faith, hope, and love. These three. Then he goes on to say the greatest of those is love. Love is greater than hope. But that doesn't mean hope is insignificant. Hope is one of the three things that abides, that remains, that continues throughout our human existence to be a part of us. And it's an important part. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Our hope has to remain. It has to abide. It has to continue to the end. If we lose our hope, then we won't make it to heaven. If we give up on our hope, we won't make it. Hope is so essential. Hebrews 6:18-19 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's another song that I thought about. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Anchored to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. That's the kind of anchor that we have. That's what our hope is. It's something that holds us in place when the rest of the world is being tossed here and there and crashed upon the rocks of this life's troubles. Our hope in Jesus Christ keeps us anchored. It keeps us not necessarily exactly immovable. If you've ever seen a ship that was anchored, it's not that the ship just doesn't move at all, but it doesn't get swept away. It floats on the waves, and the waves go here and there, but it doesn't go. It's anchored. It stays put. And we need to be sure that we have hope that abides as our anchor. Secondly, we want to notice that real hope in Christ is based on the resurrection. Acts 23 and verse 6, when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question." You see, if we don't have hope that we're going to be raised from the dead, if we don't have hope that there's going to be a resurrection, if we don't believe that, then we have no hope. Why do so many people in today's world live such vicious, immoral, violent, and vile lives? Because they don't believe there's going to be a resurrection at the end. They think, whatever I'm going to do, I've got to do now because this is it. They've been taught that since they were in kindergarten or first grade, or maybe even earlier with some of them, that we just evolved from the animals and we're just animals. There's no soul, there's no God, there's no Bible, there's no heaven or hell, there's no none of this resurrection. And a lot of them have started to really believe that, and they live like they believe that. If there's not another life, if there's no resurrection and no judgment day, what on earth is to keep anyone from living however they want to live? What's to keep someone from killing and stealing? What's to stop them from any of these things? Nothing. Our hope is based on the resurrection. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now this is we talk about the end resurrection at the end of time, but what about Jesus Christ's resurrection? If He's still in the grave, then what are we doing here? Our hope is based on His resurrection. If He couldn't get Himself up out of the grave, then what makes us think He'd get us up out of the grave? We have to believe in His resurrection in order to have a hope of our own. 1 Peter 1:21 also says, "Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." We have hope because He was raised up from the dead. The third thing we want to notice is that real hope in Christ anticipates His return. Now we might say, well, that's like waiting on the resurrection. Well, that's true, but what good would the resurrection be if Jesus didn't come back? We all rose up from the dead just to live on this earth with everybody else and all the other wicked people that had ever lived. Well, that wouldn't be any good. But it anticipates Christ's return. Titus 2 and verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We're waiting. But we're not just waiting. We're not dreading it, hopefully. Some should be dreading it because of the way they've lived. But looking for. We're looking forward to it. We're anticipating it. We're hoping for it to occur. We want it to happen, and we have every reasonable expectation to believe that it will. Acts 24 and verse 15, "We have and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." But not only that, but that there will be a judgment day as well, that Christ will return and judge the world. The fourth thing we want to notice is perhaps a little more sad than the other things. Real hope in Christ belongs only to God's children. Ephesians 4:4. Remember earlier we talked about those sports teams and some have a realistic hope, a realistic expectation, a realistic confidence that they can win and others don't. Well, see, a real, realistic expectation of heaven belongs only to God's children. Ephesians 4:4 says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." It's not for everybody. And there are a whole bunch of different hopes. Well, I know you're hoping to get to heaven by Jesus, but I'm going to hope to get there some other way. I'm going to do enough good works, or I'm going to not do any bad things, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to blow myself up and get a straight ticket there, as a suicide bomber. Different people have different, but there's only one hope. There's only one hope that calls us to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 and 14. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Notice he's talking to the children of God. He's talking to his brethren. "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." So he says to these brothers about those who sleep in Jesus that they have hope, but he says he doesn't want them to be like the others which have no hope. So there's two groups. There's those that have hope and those who have no hope. And he says, you, brethren, are the ones that have the hope. And because of that, you're not going to need to mourn and weep. Oh, we'll be sad when fellow Christians die, those who die in Christ, who sleep in Jesus, as he says. Oh, it's a sad occasion, certainly. But not like those who don't have hope. You see, because we can hope to see them again one day. We can hope to be with them again one day. Titus 3 and verse 7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're heirs. Well, the inheritance belongs to the children, not to the stranger. Ephesians 2:12 says, "At that time," he's talking about a time in the past, "you were without Christ." Now notice what he says being without Christ means. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." And notice this next one. "Having no hope and without God in the world." That is quite possibly a description of the most miserable possible condition a human being could be in. Without Christ. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You hear people sometimes talk about living a hell on earth. That's about as close as you can get, being without Christ, without God in this world, and having no hope. How can people even live without hope? But then we want to look to the fact that real hope in Christ changes the way we live. 1 John 3:3 says, "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." If we really have this hope in us, it's going to change the way we live our lives. We're going to purify ourselves. We're not going to keep engaging in the sinful behaviors of the world like those who have no hope. They're living the eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die kind of mentality. The Epicurean philosophy. We, on the other hand, are living soberly and righteously and uprightly in this present world, knowing, yes, we will die. And after this, the judgment. Having that hope will help us to purify ourselves. Colossians 1:23 says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." He warns that some people are moved away from their hope. You see, when we have hope, we need to live a certain way. And if we don't continue in the faith, we get moved away from our hope. Our faith in Christ. Christ is our hope. If we don't live accordingly, we get moved away from our hope. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." It's always interesting to me. I know we keep coming back to sports teams, but it's one of the, just watching these, you see this team that hadn't won a championship in years and shows no signs of being any better this year than they were the year before. And yet, oh yeah, we're going to win this year. Why do you think so? What reason for that hope do you have? They don't have any. They just wish their team would win. They have the same coach. They have, you know, players that aren't any better, but they think they're going to win. But some teams can say, well, look, we got this person new, and we got this new coach, and so-and-so was hurt last year, but they're healthy again this year, and we're going to win. And they have reasons for it. You ask people, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? How do you think you're going to get there? Ask them. Well, I just feel saved. What kind of reason is that? Well, I don't think God would send me to hell because I'm a good person. What kind of reason is that? You see, Peter tells us to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope. You see, remember that definition? It's to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. There's got to be some reason there. I know our society today has turned Christianity into this emotional thing where you just, it's better felt than told, and well, you just got it, the Spirit grabs and gets you and you know it and you got it, and that's not biblical. The Bible teaches us that our hope is not based on our emotions, our feelings. It's a reasonable hope. There's a reason for our hope. And that reason isn't based on whether I feel good today or not. Even on days I don't feel good, I can still have hope. No matter what's going on outside and around me in this world, I can have hope, but there has to be a reason. And the reason has to be based in what Christ did. We talked about His resurrection. We talked about His return, Him coming back, our hope of resurrection. The Scriptures are to give us comfort and hope. I want to notice as well that real hope in Christ changes the way we view death. How do we look at death? Because when we have real hope in Christ, we're going to view death differently. Because it is different for the Christian. We saw in 1 Thessalonians already that we are not to mourn as them which have no hope. We look at death differently. Colossians 1:5 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." If I have something that I'm hoping for that's a good thing, it changes the way I look at a negative thing that I'm going to have to go through, doesn't it? I can remember times when traveling, going to see some loved one, whether it was coming back home to see my family, either my parents or my wife and children, and I had been away from them, and I had a long drive ahead of me, and I was tired and didn't really want to make the drive, but having the hope of getting to be home, getting to see my family again, made it easier to make that trip than it does when you're making the trip away from the family and the good things. Makes a difference if we have hope on the other end. Now that's just a small hope. You know, hope to get home and see the family. But it's still a good hope, and it makes it easier to bear something that's a little miserable. But what if we have hope of heaven? Well, now, none of us looks at death and says, boy, that sounds like fun. Let's go right now. How soon can I do it? And can I find the most torturous, painful way to go through it? That'd be great. None of us looks at death that way. Even the Christian with hope laid up for him in heaven doesn't look at death that way. Only the lunatic looks at death that way. But we can look at death as, you know, it's going to be a miserable experience, but I know what's on the other side is better. So I can make it through that tough time. You remember what the Bible says about Jesus facing the cross? For the joy that was set before him, he endured. He didn't look forward to it. He didn't have fun, but he endured the cross. The humiliation, the pain, the suffering. Because there was a joy on the other side of it. He was going to get to go back home. And he was going to get to redeem mankind from their sins. That gave him the hope that allowed him to make it through those difficult times. We can do that as well with that hope that's laid up for us in heaven. You see, we don't get to have all of the good things here in this life. We have to wait. It's laid up in heaven for us. 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul perhaps said it best. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all we have to hope for is that, well, because I'm following Jesus, He's going to give me good things in this life. My life's going to be better than people that don't. Now, is it sometimes? Yes. Is it always? No. And we talked in class this morning about the lady who was imprisoned and sentenced to die because she wouldn't convert to the Muslim religion. Did it make her life better? No, it made her life pretty miserable. What about the early Christians? Were their lives all good and pleasant things because they believed in Jesus? No, they were chased from city to city, stoned, executed, run out of town. It didn't make their lives better. If that's all we're hoping for, I believe in Jesus and I've got hope in Jesus because He's going to make my life better here on this earth, which is what some of the prosperity gospel kind of preachers preach. We're sadly mistaken. And it's not going to work out quite that way. And Paul says, if that's all we're hoping for, then everybody ought to pity us for the fools we are. Of course, he says that's not the case. We have hope in Christ after this life. And that's where it really is going to make the difference. We may not necessarily see the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian in this life's blessings. In fact, the non-Christian may be wealthier. They may even have better relationships with some of their family. They may have better food to eat, better clothes to wear, a better job. Everything may look like it's going much better for them than for the Christian. But that's not what it's all about. We have a hope that's beyond that. Philippians 1:20-21. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How many of us can say that? If we have real hope in Christ, we can say that. It would be a gain to me if I die. Not a loss. You know, a lot of people look at death as, well, look at all the things I'd lose. I'd lose my house, I'd lose my car, I'd lose my, you know, all these things. I'd lose. The Christian can look at death and say, what I gain is better than what I'd lose. For me to die is a gain. It would be a positive experience in the overall balance sheet of my existence. I'd be better off than I am now. Can we say that? Hope in Christ makes it such. Do we believe that heaven is better than here? If we really believe that, then yes, to be dead and to go and to be with Christ would be better. Would we lose out on some things here? Yes. But are they more valuable than what we would gain there? Well, absolutely not. So having hope in Christ changes the way we view death. Hebrews 7:19 tells us, "The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God." Are you drawing near to God through the perfect hope that God has? It's perfect. Jesus Christ is our hope. And that's perfect. That's God's plan. Couldn't have been any better. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Is your hope driving you to long for heaven? The story told of the class that was asked, the children asked, "Do you want to go to heaven?" Everybody but one little boy raised their hand. "Yeah, I want to go to heaven." The teacher thought, well, the little boy didn't understand. Asked again, "Do you want to go to heaven?" And the little boy still didn't raise his hand. She finally looked at him. She said, "Joey, don't you want to get to see Jesus someday and get to go live with God in heaven?" He said, "Oh, someday? I thought you meant today." Sometimes we have that attitude. "Oh, yeah, maybe someday, but well, I want to live it up here first." We ought to be homesick as Christians. We sing that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." But boy, some of us have put down some pretty deep roots for somebody who's just passing through. Abraham was one who was just passing through. And you know, it's interesting in Abraham's life. Seems wherever he went, he pitched a tent, but he built an altar. He built a permanent place of worship to God in a place that he wasn't even going to stay, because he just pitched a tent there and then he was going to move on. But he knew what was really important, didn't he? We have to keep that hope. During World War II in a Nazi concentration camp, one of the prisoners dreamed of being rescued. He dreamed that the rescue would occur on a specific day, and he began to tell the other prisoners about it. He brought them hope, and many fought to live because of that hope. But the day he had dreamed of came and went, and there was no rescue. He gave up all hope and died. A few days later, the rescue came, but he had given up too soon. I think that may be part of the reason, you know, we don't see in Scripture when Jesus is coming back. We're only told, be faithful to the end. Hold fast, steadfast. You know, keep your hope to the end, we saw earlier in 1 Peter 1:13. Hope to the end. Because some, like this fellow, will give up. And they'll quit and they'll die. And then they'll lose all hope. As long as people are alive, they have hope. The hope is that they will come to acknowledge Christ and be obedient to Him. If you haven't done that in your life, you can do it today. If you believe that Jesus Christ is our hope, that He is the one who came and lived a perfect life, died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and rose to live forevermore. If you believe that, Remember we said hope will make you change the way you live? If you believe that, repent of your sins. Confess Him as the Christ. Be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you felt your hope dwindling or slipping away, or maybe you've moved away from your faith and your hope, come back to that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. If you need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.